Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, including the iTunes, where if you hit that subscribe/download button, it helps jack us up in the rankings and get some more exposure for the show. And we're very appreciative of that.
Yes.
We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. Where you guys can support the show, and in exchange, man, we got like almost 60 people watching the live stream of our Raw recap show right now, and after we're done rolling, we're going to do a bonus episode with them, and we're going to take some questions, and we interact before the show. After the show, they get to witness our shoot banter.
Yes.
And we're just chatting it up with each other.
Yeah.
Like we are in normal times.
Yes.
We're not on the show. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Boy, I was going to say Steven Larson.
I know.
Everything used to be Steven Larson. Now everything's Going In Raw.
Yes.
We're properly branded now.
Yes.
Where you cannot get this Pete Dunne shirt.
Nor this Seth Rollins Wrestling School shirt.
I got this came in the mail yesterday. Pete Dunne, hell of a wrestler and hell of a shirt maker.
That is a great shirt.
Because it's super comfy and it's like my exact size. It's like perfect size. And then I'm going to wash. It's like a little big. So when I wash it, it's going to be perfect size.
I said this before, but I don't think I've ever met anybody as particular about their t-shirts as you are.
I'm sure there are people out there that are as particular.
That's not what I said, though. I haven't met anybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm a very particular person. I am actually a very particular person.
Well, as am I.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm more particular than you are, though.
In different areas, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Patreon, speaking of our lovely patrons. So every week I do this, man, because people who open up their wallets to us, you know, they get their rewards and everything. But I like to say their name. Just, you know, so that they can get some, you know, at least nothing else. Cause we open up our question thread to our patrons.
Yes.
For the shows, and that's just $1 a month up.
Yeah. But we get a lot of them.
So there's something, you know, we're not always, when we even say in the question thread, hey, let us know if you're a first time patron, we try to get at least one person's question answered, you know, if you're a patron. But barring that, the only other thing I can do is read their name. So we're going to do that now. Brian Surrett, Blue Lagumba, Ulysses Salmeron, Nick Kelly, Patrick Williams, Kaled, Noah Rayford, Sin Sokolov, Mr. Blue 7, Kevin Toner, Thayer Thabata, Michael Berry, Corey Thor. Here we go. Carrie Throgmorton, Caleb Pick, Baggy, Master of Steven Larson Driver, Xander McIntosh. The Steven Larson driver. What kind of driver that is?
Yeah, I know.
Snooker Sam 21, Axel the Revolver, Captain Smarky Smart, Chris Marvin, the 6'7" piece of heaven DP from SC. That's a great name. Israel Pacheco, Paulito, not cool bro, Kylar Moser.
Well, it's the Slim Show.
Let's go Blue 13 and the undisputed YouTube game review champion TGX. They all put in money to the Patreon, and sincerely, thank you for that.
Yes, thank you very much.
Support the show. So,
Raw!
It's time for the Raw recap. This is the go-home episode of Raw for WrestleMania. Now, this is something I kind of want to do, like, in my spare time.
What?
My very little spare time. I want to go back and look at other go-home episodes of Raw, because the go-home show to the pay-per-view is supposed to be a hyped-up show.
Well, you know, the first one you should watch is the classic go-home show, WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
With the timeless.
Oh, yeah.
Classic segment.
Yes.
That closed the show.
Yeah.
Where Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns,
in dramatic, epic fashion.
Yes. Played tug of war with the world title.
I remember clowning that so hard. So as far as that, but I don't know if traditionally they're crap or if they're good or if they're just average or
I'm
what.
I'm sure like Raw in general is a mixed bag.
I think it probably is. Last night, as far as go-home shows were, look, if you're not sold on WrestleMania yet, you're not going to be, I don't care how slam-bang the show
was. I mean, literally,
was.
You could watch it for free.
Yeah.
And if you even have like a passing casual enjoyment of wrestling and you're not taking advantage of that deal, this Raw will do nothing to sway your opinion.
Exactly.
Where you can literally just watch their largest show of the year for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a decent show.
Yeah, it had some decent segments.
Look, I wasn't like angry like I was last year when we got that tug of war crap.
It's 2 years
last
ago.
Year, no, 2 years ago rather. Well, okay, yeah. I don't remember last year's being slam bang. I think last year's was.
I don't remember anything about last year's go home show.
Neither do I. I mean, Triple H, Reigns. I don't remember what they did.
I don't remember anything.
I don't remember any of that stuff, dude. I think I do remember last year saying though. That, hey, at least it's not Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns playing tug of war. And no matter what happens in the future, that will always be my standby. We can always say, at least it's not Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns playing tug of war. Although, if rumors are true and Roman Reigns is going to be taking on Brock Lesnar next year, we might see that. I got some thoughts
about
Roman
Reigns.
And if
they were to reference that next year, if that main event came to pass, oh my goodness. It would raise the first tug of war. Like up in esteem so much.
Well, I'd want them to do a literal tug of war where they take the belt, they close the belt up through the buttons or whatever. They put two pieces like chain around the straps.
Okay.
And then each guy gets on either side of the ring and they literally play tug of war.
Sure.
For the go home of Raw.
Yeah. Great idea.
But let's start at the beginning and then we'll move along. Bayley came out and delivered a promo.
Saying that
she said the word WrestleMania a lot.
Yeah, but
how many fucking pointing to the? You know, I'm starting to feel Jason the cabbie on this pointing to the WrestleMania sign thing. It's like good when it works, but man,
it works in small doses. It works better in small doses.
At Gorilla, is there just a fucking sign that says
above
point
the curtain?
Sign? Yeah, this is point to the sign, like required activity.
Yes, minimum three sign points per segment.
Jesus, the number of I get it. It's wrestle. We all understand. We know that giant fucking sign is looming over there. And people have to point at it, but man, like, you don't have to stop in the middle of a sentence and go,
that thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, where was I? So Bayley comes out, she drops a promo and talks about how when she was a kid, they used to order it.
This year, she's going to be at WrestleMania.
I feel like
part
Bayley
of the card.
Was a kid when the network was already around and they were giving it away for free. Probably not. But Charlotte comes out. And she calls Bayley a naive fangirl. I mean, it was kind of just a lot of rehashing here.
Yeah, pretty much. Charlotte once again said that Sasha has been manipulating the situation so she can get another title shot. Charlotte said that Sasha is just waiting to stab Bayley in the back.
Yeah, conspiracy theorist Charlotte Flair.
Which led to Sasha Banks coming out.
Looks like $1 million, man. She has her Mania hair already. Like Murr's going to prom this weekend, and so she got her hair done yesterday. So in similar fashion, Sasha Banks got her hair done for Mania. I don't know. I figured that you get your hair done, you're going to do it like the day of or the day before, but apparently you can do it like a week out, and you're set. You just can't like, I don't know, get your hair jacked up. You can't go like, you know, for a mud run or something before Mania.
Yes.
Anyways, Sasha comes out looking like $1 million. The Nia Jax comes out because Sasha just says whatever Sasha usually says. No, I'm all good. Nia comes out. She's talking.
Well, Sasha
walking.
Said that her and Bayley are really good friends, but they can separate their friendship from business.
Yeah.
And then Sasha said, you know, we'll still be friends, but I'm still going to win the women's title from you at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tightrope right there, man.
You know?
And then Nia Jax comes out. She starts talking, which is ill-advised. She just shouldn't talk.
I know.
She should not talk. I mean, I know you need to get your reps in. Maybe that's why she should have been in NXT longer.
But I think, you know, I've said this before. I think all the character work she does in the ring is really good.
Yeah, it's good.
When she talks trash to the crowd and stuff, it's really good.
Yeah, because it's not forced.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, some people just can't read scripts, man.
Yeah.
So anyways, they
all brawl.
They all brawl. And that leads to, didn't that lead to an actual tag match?
Yeah. Yeah, so next thing listed on the notes here.
Sasha Bayley versus Nia Jax and Charlotte.
No, I thought when they announced this match, they were gonna tease some tension potentially between Bayley and Sasha. They didn't do that.
I don't think there's going to be any of that until the night after Raw. If Sasha turns heel or whatever, I don't even think we're going to see it necessarily during the match. We might see, I mean, they're going to get into it.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be any like big deceit or anything like that.
Yeah. Bayley picked up the win. With the Bayley to belly on Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, while Sasha and Bayley were celebrating, Nia Jax attacks everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Destroys everybody.
Holds the belt up.
Hoists it high in the air.
And then drops it, leaves the ring. Now, let me ask you this. Traditionally, okay. Yes. Whoever wins the match or stands tall to close a segment
mm-hmm.
on the go-home show usually doesn't win at the pay-per-view.
Well, wouldn't that mean all signs would point to either Charlotte or Sasha? Because Bayley picked up the win.
I was thinking Sasha.
But really?
Yeah.
She seems to be like the, in my opinion, she seems to be the least likely. Maybe that would make her the most likely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of feel like the window in Sasha, in terms of like right now, her face run is closed.
Yeah.
And so the only thing they really can do with her is like make her heel and then have her fight with Bayley after this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I think, I agree with. But they could kickstart that by having her, you know, swerve her best friend and win the belt.
Let me ask you this, though. Because I think I'll put it this way. I think the story of the Mania fight is all, I mean, leading up to it, it's been all Charlotte Bailey, with Charlotte trying to play mind games with Bailey by saying Sasha is
manipulating things. Yeah.
And I think that'll come to pass on Raw, but I think they still need to tell the finality of that story during the match. And I think it's just Charlotte fucking with Bayley. When you have the opportunity and WWE has the opportunity, they keep it simple. And so I think Charlotte, it's going to come down to Charlotte and Bayley. And I think Bayley's going to retain.
Oh, I think ultimately,
but let me ask you this, though.
I think that's what's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sasha won.
Let me ask you something. If Sasha goes heel after Mania, doesn't that necessitate Charlotte? I'm sorry. If Sasha goes heel, doesn't that necessitate Charlotte going face?
Not necessarily.
But who's Nia Jax going to face? Like Emma? Dana Brooke?
Yes.
It's not a real feud.
I understand.
What's Charlotte going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah. I kind of feel like Charlotte and Sasha are going to do like a double turn.
Could be.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe after Raw, Charlotte will come out and express respect for Bayley for going through everything she went through, and that'll be like her face turn. Like, she won't be like super good guy or anything.
Yeah.
She won't be like hugging her or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I just get this feeling. Let's see here. So,
after that, backstage, Sami Zayn gave an interview,
mm-hmm.
and he was sad that Mick Foley wasn't there.
Yeah, he was talking about him like he died.
Kind of. And Sami said he took Mick's words to heart, and because of that, he's going to enter the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And that when he won, he was going to dedicate his win to Mick Foley.
This dude is so on his way to SmackDown.
Yep.
He is so on the way to SmackDown. So
Stephanie
yeah, enters the frame. And the great thing about the frame, I noticed this on Twitter last night, is that when Stephanie entered the frame, they had to go to a two shot of her and Sami Zayn. And so Charlie, the interview bot, was sort of left out of frame, but her hand was still there and it was crossing over into Sammy's body. And so it looked like Sammy was backstage interviewing Stephanie for a second. He was like, you've been knocked down to backstage interview bot, Sammy. Oh,
Stephanie says, well, under this new regime on Raw, you have to earn your spot. So you just mm-hmm. can't insert yourself into a match. So tonight, last night on Raw, Sammy would have to face Kevin Owens. If Sammy won, then he could get in the Battle Royal. If he lost, he was fired.
Headed to SmackDown. Instead, he's going to take the Cena crowd to SmackDown.
I do like that they're giving Sammy a story at least.
No, I do. I like it too. I like it a lot. But this is going to come to a head. That dude is going to SmackDown, especially mm-hmm. with the new AJ. I mentioned this in the pre-show. That AJ Styles shirt. Tell me that's not a fucking Raw shirt. That is the most Raw shirt I've ever seen.
There's a lot of red on it.
It is so much red.
He was advertised for SmackDown shows in May.
Card subject to change.
I'm aware of that.
Card subject to change.
I'm just saying. So, after that segment, we had Austin Aries versus Noam Dar.
Noam Dar.
With Neville on commentary.
Yeah, it was good. The last chancery, is that what we're calling it now?
Well, that's what they call it. That's the submission move.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
It was a cool finish because Austin hit two discus five arms.
Discus five arms.
And then pointed to Neville and then put Dar in the last chancery to pick up the win.
Yeah, it was good. Not quite as dramatic as the 205 Live main event from last week. But this is Raw. They don't really have... This wasn't even on the Hulu version.
Really?
So I watched a little bit on YouTube. Yeah, well, Hulu, it's 90 minutes of precious time.
I understand.
I don't get it, man. SmackDown gets all 2 hours. Why doesn't Hulu get...
Well, I mean, SmackDown without commercials is roughly an hour and a half.
I'll put it this way. They show all of SmackDown.
Yeah, I know.
They don't show all of... I know what. There's a 90-minute limit on what they can do.
I don't know.
They have movies. They can do more.
I don't know.
That has to be like a TV agreement. Then we had our Hold Harmless signing.
Oh, one thing I want to say about this opening segment with the revolving around the women's title.
Sure.
They gave that opening segment and the match about a half hour.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
I noticed this. You're right about that. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because they gave that and they gave Owens Jericho essentially the main event slot of Raw. I know it was Goldberg Lesnar, but that was what, 5 minutes if it was, nothing.
It was about 10 minutes, I think, yeah.
Yeah, but, there's like, 5 minutes of that was Heyman talking probably. Mm-hmm. So that was like kind of nothing. It really felt that they were pushing the Jericho Owens thing quite a bit more than a lot of the other stuff.
Yeah.
And the women's thing, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I actually really like this
Hold
Harmless signing. I can't fucking say Hold Harmless. I know, right? It's kind of doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. I like that when Triple H came out, he was still reading the Hold Harmless, making sure that I'm businessman now. I find it funny that my name is last on this thing and Seth's is first. I wonder why that is. It's not alphabetical. Kobe Lopez. Oh, Lopez. People like when I say I find it funny now.
I know.
And this is the thing, though. That shit is totally fucking true. If you listen to any Triple H, if you read like in an interview or like listen to him. When he's not in character. Oh my God. He says, I find it funny so much.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So anyways, I thought this was really cool.
But
it's so funny, dude. We were talking so much shit about Seth Rollins as a face when he had nothing to do, and it just proves you need something to do.
Yes.
And I love this Seth Rollins. I thought the whole motivation of I want to get back to who I was before I knew you.
Yeah, yeah. He's seeking redemption.
Exactly. I like that. I thought that was good.
No, that is good. It is good. It's not just simple revenge.
Mm-hmm. Right,
It's Seth trying to reclaim who he was.
The loss of identity.
Yes.
I like
that.
And
it's good.
And you can only do that by hurting Triple H.
And Triple H's a promo to start things was very well done, too.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. He said, I'm going to tell you what rights you're giving up. You're giving up your rights. So when you're back there in the VA armory wrestling in front of 100 people, you think he's going to come to like SPW?
Cool. It was cool
get Kobe Lopez
that Seth Rollins gave a shout out to the venue where I guess
Ring of Honor. Oh, I know. That was cool.
Ring of Honor used to wrestle in Philadelphia.
That was neat. Hey, Seth, we didn't
buy a hot dog and a handshake, as he put it.
We didn't buy them. Hot dog and a handshake. I'll take a hot dog right now. I did like the beginning part. A lot of people on Twitter noted this too, that Triple H is talking to Seth like he's his dad.
I know.
Which was I think like a little underlying layer there.
Yeah,
that was
good.
Cuz like sit down. Okay, fine. No match for you. I'm like, that is literally how I talk to my kids. fine. No allowance for you. Anyway, Seth Rollins sat down. They did their whole thing and then Seth Rollins gets up during his fiery promo. And Triple H with just like a little, like jams,
just nudges the table,
And
it flies towards Seth's knee.
Exactly. And so they go at it.
Seth gets the upper hand.
Mm-hmm. And Triple H goes scurrying away. Kind of obvious, I think. Samoa Joe has nothing to do, so he's going to be
involved in this match.
We were talking about this a little bit before the show, and we're going to do our predictions episode. When are we going to do our predictions episode?
We're going to record it tomorrow.
We're going to shoot it tomorrow?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And it'll go up Thursday night, I guess.
Okay. Ooh, we got our backdrops. Cool. I went to pick up our backdrops. They look spiffy.
Good.
Because we're going to shoot some content there in Orlando.
Yes.
So we need some backdrops.
Yes.
Are we going to come straight home after Mania? This is the thing. I'm going to have to really, really exercise some discipline, which I'm terrible at, and not yell my lungs out.
Yeah, don't do that. You gotta save your voice.
I gotta save my voice.
We have a lot of stuff. Yes.
Like on
Saturday.
Saturday?
That's a long day we have.
Like we have a show to go to on Friday.
Yes.
At like noon, which is 9 o'clock in the morning our time.
I know.
That's gonna suck.
Yeah.
And it's a hell of a show too. If I'm not mistaken, it's gonna feature Matt Riddle taking on Trent Seven in the main event, which would be fucking great.
Great.
Any event.
Anyways, let's talk about this over-the-top rope challenge, this next segment.
I would love one of these every episode of Raw.
Yeah.
I love over-the-top rope, and I love elimination.
Yes.
So I would love one of these every time we saw Raw.
It was like a new take on a battle royal, where as opposed to having a bunch of people in the ring at one time.
It was like a gauntlet.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So it started out with, well, The Big Show,
yeah,
and Jinder Mahal,
yeah.
Mahal was eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Out comes Bo Dallas,
of course. Yeah,
Bo Dallas was eliminated.
Yeah,
out comes the Shining Stars. Shining Stars were eliminated.
Yes,
out comes Golden Truth and Curtis Axel.
They are eliminated.
No, they eliminated. Right. They along eliminated. With everybody
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well.
And then Big Show gets back in the ring,
mm-hmm.
lays everybody out.
Yeah.
Roddy's about to leave the ring. You hear, Braun!
Braun.
Strowman comes out, says, yeah. I would come out there and beat you up if I wanted to, but you're going to have to wait till WrestleMania. So I guess Strowman's in the Battle Royal as well.
That would seem to be the case. Braun Strowman's in the Battle Royal. Sami Zayn's in the Battle Royal. Big Show in the Battle Royal. Who's winning that son of a bitch?
Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, I know. I actually had the same thought because there was video of him training with Gronk, but that's not enough.
No, it's either going to be Braun or maybe Sami Zayn.
You don't think there's no chance Big Show wins this? It's probably his last WrestleMania.
There's a chance.
Because he didn't get his big Shaq fight.
I know.
And they're not always huge on putting people over. I feel like Braun took a loss against Roman Reigns.
I know.
Like he can it's not like Braun's career is riding on winning this thing.
No, I don't think anybody's career is riding on winning the Andre the Giant Memorial
Sammy
Battle Royal.
Sami winning will either give more heat on him to Stephanie, but like him winning, like are you going to fire him over winning?
I don't know.
I can see her firing him over losing, over not winning the Andre
Maybe.
The Giant because he's not performing or whatever. I don't know. I could see, it's like for me, it's like 33% for everybody. I could see them wanting to give Big Show one last win. I could see them.
I'm kind of disappointed if they didn't do a Braun-Big Show match one-on-one. That'd have been cool.
You know what, man? I'm happy that we got that shit on Raw, though.
Yeah, that was a good match.
Because I'm fine with them not doing that. Number one, I love the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
It's
it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I agree with you to a degree, but I thought that its placement on Raw was so perfect for Braun Strowman. Like,
mm-hmm.
one
mm-hmm.
fucking match on Raw can make all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
We had a really quick interview with the club mm-hmm. after this.
They mocked Enzo and Kaz. They were doing their shtick, the you can't teach that thing.
Yes.
And
then we had a really short Roman Reigns interview where he said he was going to go to the ring later in the evening and say what he was going to do to The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. Since he just really doesn't think about The Undertaker that much.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Then we had a New Day package where they were racing up the Rockies. They were doing the Rocky stuff. The Philadelphia. But didn't I just say something about the Rocky steps?
You did.
Was it Seth? Oh, yes. Yeah, it was Seth.
Yes.
Yeah. But instead it was New Day, so yes. I kind of called that. Yeah, they did the Rocky steps thing. Do you think the Paige video altered the trajectory of them going to WrestleMania in terms of like how they're being used? It's a small thing. It doesn't matter. Like,
maybe
that doesn't really, it doesn't add. I mean, it doesn't add or detract, but it does make me wonder. Like,
yeah,
there isn't like there might have it. Possibly they wouldn't have used them on in the ring, but then they definitely didn't use them in the ring because of the Paige thing.
Could be,
maybe.
Could be.
Then we had a Sheamus and Cesaro interview.
Which was quickly interrupted by the club.
Who just brutalized them.
They yes.
took fucking tables or
ladders.
Ladders. Yeah, ladders to them. Then we had Neville versus Jack Gallagher.
Another good match.
I love Jack Gallagher.
These guys work really well together.
I think he's really good.
And there was a vicious headbutt from Gallagher on Neville. Yeah. Man, that looked like it hurt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Neville won with the Rings of Saturn. Then we got a double special journalistic report. He was with the New Day backstage, and then he did some hip swiveling stuff with them.
Yeah.
He was doing, they said, what matters in this match is the hips.
Yes.
And they said, do some hips.
And he did.
And he did hips. He did. He got some good hips there.
Yes.
Then Roman Reigns came out to the ring and delivered a promo. I love this. I think it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
He was, he didn't seem bothered by the boos. In fact, he seemed to relish them. He seemed like he was actually, to a certain extent, enjoying himself
out
there.
I'm telling you, man. It wouldn't surprise me. I think it's a 50-50 chance. He might be super over by Mania next year.
Maybe. If they turn him heel and they follow that formula, yes.
Yeah. Somebody on Twitter pointed this out to me.
Because I think his promo last night teased a heel turn.
Yeah.
Pretty much saying he didn't care what anybody else thought.
Yeah.
Calling out John Cena, several other superstars by name.
Yeah.
And saying once again that this was now his yard.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this a bit last night. And you said that they weren't really giving him much to work with, which is true. The motivation for this feud is kind of thin.
Well, here's the thing also. You texted me that after I had only seen his backstage interview.
Oh, you didn't see his actual
and
promo.
And so I hadn't seen his promo till this morning. And so when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, the motivation for the feud is there's not much there.
Right, yeah,
there's
not a
ton there to work with. But his delivery in the promo, the only thing, Reigns still needs to be more comfortable on the mic, because even though his delivery was really good, if you looked in his eyes, you can tell it's still he didn't believe 100% what he was saying. It wasn't completely convincing. His delivery was good, but looking in his eyes, you can tell there's still hesitancy about how he was saying what he was saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you.
He's still not 100% confident. I wonder
because he was so... I feel like he really wants to be a heel.
Yeah.
I feel like he really understands that he could maybe do a lot with that.
Yeah.
And he just... I don't even know if he has stick to roll. So, Tony, at TonyCESC10, tweeted this to us. And it allegedly is something that Triple H said.
Oh, yeah, about Reigns being a heel already.
Yeah, it says...
That the crowd, 70% of the crowd already boos him. Okay, sorry.
I'll read the quote. People could look at Roman Reigns and say, the failed attempt that is Roman Reigns. But Roman Reigns sells tickets. Roman Reigns gets one of the loudest reactions every night, whether that reaction is a boo or whether that reaction is a cheer. The fans who say, I don't understand why they don't turn Roman Reigns heel. Isn't he already... He goes on, if you believe what you believe and you're saying is, how could they not turn him heel? There is 70% of the crowd booing him out of the building. If that's your belief, then isn't he already the biggest heel we have? If 70% of that crowd is booing him, then he's a heel. We're just presenting him to you in a different way that makes you hate him.
Yeah, I saw that last night too.
I honestly think that Triple H is trying to change our perceptions of heel and face, which is interesting because he's got people like Samoa Joe under his wing who are straight up heels.
Yes.
So I wonder if I would be fascinated to know what the dynamic is creatively between Triple H and Vince, whereby Triple H is maybe trying to do subtle things with Roman Reigns and then justify that as kind of a subtle sort of postmodern heel turn, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
So like...
Or like they kind of at least...
It's almost like meta in a way.
Yeah, I was gonna say they kind of not overtly but subtly reference perhaps, you know, like he is the company guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and push and, you know, do the heel turner all centered around that.
Yeah. So but in a way that it's completely not explicit.
Yeah, yeah, it's not overt. It's not like Reigns is aligning himself with Triple H.
He's not
joining the authority.
Triple H is trying to change our perceptions of reality within wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy. But I think that's real. I think that's really interesting. I think that's also a possible look into the direction of character in the future, like in a post Vince era.
Yeah,
where we have he talked also extensively about variety in these talents that he is sort of showing to Vince and influencing the product in that manner. Guys like Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Who don't fit a typical mold. And he said in one of the interviews, maybe it was the SI one, I'm not sure. He said, essentially, I'm not sure Vince would have rolled with these guys 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, but this, I'm trying to get some variety. So everybody we present, you can relate to somebody.
Yeah.
Which is great, which I think is fantastic.
Oh, yes. Fantastic.
And so I think that, like, if they continue along a certain trajectory with Roman Reigns, I think it's going to be more interesting than not.
Yeah.
I have that. That's sort of an optimistic hope of mine.
It'll be interesting to see, especially if probably when Reigns beats Undertaker at Mania, the crowd will crap all over it.
Yeah.
To see how they take that heat and exploit it to further Reigns along.
I'll put it this way. Like, my thing is simply this. I just want an interesting character.
Exactly.
And I think one of the problems with Reigns has been...
He hasn't been interesting.
He hasn't been interesting, and he comes off as a guy who's being force-fed to us.
Yes.
But not in a way that makes it feel... I mean, there has to be an element of, I understand that this is scripted and I want some interesting creative thoughts behind that scripting.
Yes.
So anyways, all that aside, Undertaker, we got a video package.
Yeah.
From him where he's digging a grave for Roman Reigns, and he already has.
He already has the tombstone.
What do you call the guy who makes a tombstone? Is that just the Undertaker? No, the Undertaker just digs the hole for the body, right? Oh, Undertaker.
I don't know.
Man, there's a name for
there
it.
There is.
Guy, profession, that creates tombstones. What do you call a guy who creates tombstones? That's headstones, stone carver or engraver, sculptor. There's nothing specific term. Evidently not. Maybe we're missing something obvious. I don't know.
Interesting.
Anyways, he already had a tombstone made.
Yeah, with Roman's name on it.
And I think like 2017. Didn't it have the
day of WrestleMania. Yeah, date.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was April 2nd, 2017.
So, look, man, we've had arson. We've had aggravated assault. Yeah. I'm pretty sure putting guys' head through windows, aggravated assault. On Raw, we have, attempted murder? Murder?
Well, they were teasing it, yeah.
They're teasing it. What is it called? I mean, threatening somebody with murder is a crime.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm going to kill you, but being shoot about it.
Yeah.
That's crime.
Yeah.
So we have that going on Raw. They need to step up their game. We need to see actual murders.
You think the low-level writer is a fan of W. Steve W.?
Why wouldn't they be? If you're watching the channel, you know which wrestling promotion to go to. Anyways, so that was fun.
And then the lights went down, came back up, Undertaker was standing in the ring, and he said, as I was saying, because he cut.
Yeah.
He stops doing his catchphrase in the video package before. He says, at WrestleMania, you will rest in peace.
You will rest in peace.
And I wonder if they didn't want to do any physicality between them because of all the reports of Undertaker being in a lot of pain.
Yeah, they're like, dude, just make it to Orlando Sunday, and I don't know, man. This is going to be a difficult match to watch,
yes,
I think.
It could be, potentially.
This is going to hurt.
Yes.
I don't like seeing people in pain.
No.
Yeah.
So Undertaker, you know, after he said rest in peace, he raised his hands and spread them out like this, and then slowly lowered them, and the light slowly dimmed.
Yeah.
Faded to black and then went to commercial.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Saw Sheamus in the tanning booth.
Speaking of which, next we had Enzo and Cass versus the Club.
Yeah.
But very quickly, Cesaro and Sheamus came to the ring with a ladder.
Yeah.
There was a spot where Cass was in the corner ladder over him. Cesaro whipped Sheamus into that ladder. Cass pushed the ladder towards Sheamus, and Sheamus got a huge gash.
Opened up.
Above his right eye.
Like a 6-foot hole.
It was ginormous.
It was a massive hole.
And instantly, Sheamus rolls out of the ring. Between the moment of impact and him rolling out of the ring here, he started bleeding profusely.
Yeah.
Because as he rolled out, you can see the blood coming out of his face.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. On the Hulu version, they didn't show that. They cut that part. Because I watched the moment of impact, and I was like, oh, what is he going to do now? And then all of a sudden, he was like out of the ring. Like you can sort of see him in the background. Because they did a good job cutting around it.
So I think he falls and rolls out of the ring, and while he does that, he feels to see if he's bleeding.
Yeah, and he was a lot.
Yeah.
There was a gnarly picture on Twitter. Tommy Dreamer commented on our retweet.
Oh yeah, with an open gash in his forehead.
Yeah, and say congratulations, you're
about an inch and a half long.
Oh, it's fucking massive, and you could see that's what bugs
it
me
was
the most.
Deep.
I mean, you can see shit inside.
Yeah,
nothing will beat that. Now, I still freak out thinking about
the Jordan Devlin
one.
I know.
That was fucked up, man.
I know.
God damn it, that still freaks me out. Anyways, apparently I was wrong about that gif that Pachi tweeted out yesterday. Apparently,
I saw that.
Apparently he did land on his head.
Yeah.
His leg wasn't fucked up.
I didn't get that
I think I was just like expecting his leg to be fucked up, so maybe I just saw it as fucked
that
up.
That could be, since if you expect some sort of botch from the top, you think, okay, he's going to land. You always think of a Sid situation.
Yeah, exactly. I just expect that these days. Anyways, we had a Kevin Owens interview. He was backstage with... the Club stood tall at the end there.
Yes.
So it was confirmed on WWE.com.
Ladder match.
Ladder match, three-way dance.
Yes.
The tag titles.
Yes.
Then we got Kevin Owens backstage with Charlie.
Yes.
And he said, Jericho was right. I was a Y2J fan. He was also right. I was stupid for being a Y2J fan. He said, if I knew then what I know now about Jericho, I would have burned all my Jericho merchandise that my parents bought me. So he said, yeah, he said he's going to hurt Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Then we had Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. These guys can have a really good match in their sleep.
I know.
I half expected Zayn to lose this.
Yeah, I did too.
And be fired after the you know, you get to be in the Battle Royal and then you're done. I like how Stephanie says, though, that during her little bit with Sami Zayn, she's like, you can't just come out and declare. I'm like, how many people have already done that for this, for the Royal Rumble? And on top of that, did Sami Zayn learn that for the Rumble, that you can just declare? Because he knew it, then he didn't know it, then
yes,
he then he does know
it
again.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
I feel like Sami Zayn is quickly becoming like the Larry David of Raw. Do I declare? Do I not declare? I feel like I declare.
Yeah, you could declare.
Yeah, you could declare.
Yeah, you should declare.
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 What's wrong with declaring?
There's nothing wrong with declaring.
Everybody declares.
Everybody declares.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Did you declare? Are you sure you should declare?
I declared.
Maybe don't declare next time.
Maybe don't declare next time.
So, another great match from Kevin Owens and Sami
Zayn. I don't know how to drink out of a cup now.
Samoa Joe comes out.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's stuck in my head a lot these days.
It's a good song.
I don't know why.
I like Samoa Joe's theme.
Samoa Joe.
Right as Samoa Joe is about to get involved, Jericho comes out with a chair.
It's so funny how ginger they are with the chairs these days.
Yeah.
Like you can't... What are you doing?
I'm about to plug my laptop in. I guess not.
You need to do that real quick?
No, that's fine. All right. Continue.
How, like, you can't wail on anybody with a chair.
I know.
Like, they really do need to get some prop chairs where they can just wail on somebody and do minimal amount of damage.
I mean, they have gimmicked crutches
mm-hmm.
that apparently just bend if you look at them
yeah.
hard enough.
Yeah, I breathe on them. They need the same thing with folding chairs because folding chairs are kind of heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you wail on somebody, but it's hard to fake wailing on somebody. Like, some guys can actually, I don't know who off the top of my head, but some guys can do it so that, like, they don't, they look legitimately like they're wailing on you. Jericho's not one of those guys.
No. But anyways, so Jericho fends off Samoa Joe.
Yes.
Kevin Owens is distracted. Sami Zayn takes the opportunity to win with the roll-up.
Are we thinking Samoa Joe's going to be the equalizer for two matches?
Potentially.
That'd be a pretty big impact in terms of making like,
it would.
An impact
and
on the show.
And then solidify the new faction,
the new
potentially,
yeah.
either at Mania or the Raw after.
Yeah.
So after Owens loses, he attacks Sami Zayn. Jericho gets in the ring, attacks Owens with the chair, and then Jericho, after Owens leaves the ring, Jericho drops a promo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Puts Kevin Owens on the list!
That's right. I like that, though. I like that... They finally got Kevin Owens on the list as the go-home moment to WrestleMania for this match.
Yeah.
I thought that was a wise move. I thought this has been the probably the best booked build-up in terms of the story. And I feel like that's been lacking in the last couple of years. Like, I don't remember getting any good build-ups last year. Everybody was injured last year, though.
Yeah, a lot of people were injured last year.
Let's see here. Then we had the big Goldberg-Lesnar face-off. Lesnar came out first with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman dropped a typical Paul Heyman promo.
Let me ask you something. Okey-doke. They kind of teased the crisis of confidence storyline for Lesnar after he lost at Survivor Series. And then we haven't heard a mention of that since.
Yeah, they kind of pivoted to it was just bad strategy. It was fluke. We got taken.
Yes.
We got set aback.
Well, Survivor Series, but then the same thing happened at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really talk about that much.
Yeah. No, they didn't. Because it's the Rumble. It's not a match.
I know. But, I mean, Lesnar was eliminated pretty quickly.
Yeah, they dropped that pretty hard. I don't think they just don't want Lesnar to... They don't want any depth to Lesnar, man. They want him to be a mindless butt-kicking machine guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just... Goldberg caught him on a bad day or whatever.
Two bad days,
yeah. Yeah, and so Goldberg... You have to kind of appreciate, though... Like, Lesnar, when he's motivated to make a bunch of money, he'll go the extra mile.
Oh, yeah.
Like, getting spear, because, Goldberg comes down, Lesnar goes to confront him. And
On the ramp,
and Goldberg just spears the shit out of him. And they did a replay kind of in slow motion, and Lesnar sells the shit out of that.
Yeah.
He really does. Like, he went all the way with it. So, good for him. I bet Dean Ambrose is back there thinking, man, couldn't have done that for me. No, Dean, because you weigh about 200 pounds. So yeah, Goldberg stood tall at the end of the show. I like how he wore the belt with such swagger too. He's in the hallway.
I know.
He's kind of like leaning down, like dripping down a bit.
I have a question. Like, so when he's at top of the ramp, he said, you know, I can't bring Philadelphia to WrestleMania, so let's bring a little bit of WrestleMania to Philadelphia. He takes the belt off the top of the ramp, walks down towards the ring, and when Goldberg gets in the ring to pose, he rips his shirt off and the belt's there.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Two belts. He's got two belts.
They had a belt on standby near the ring?
Yeah. That makes zero sense.
Is it like Thor's hammer where he reaches out to it and it'll come to him?
Yeah.
See, that's cool.
I know. That would be cool.
That'd be very cool.
It's like Green Lantern's ring.
Yes.
I don't know, but now that you say that, I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's the first thing I noticed. Like, how'd the belt get there?
I kind of want to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, because I didn't notice anybody running, you know, because if someone went up to grab the belt and ran down to the ring to bring it to him.
Sure, sure.
We would have seen that because all the action happened within that stretch of the arena.
We're going to get an answer to this.
So,
but we need to continue on. I agree with you. As far as Gohams, I thought this was fine. Like, yeah.
It advanced stories.
Yeah, we're not going to get, like, you know,
it hype matches.
An amazing Raw where, like, they're selling you on WrestleMania. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was all right.
It was perfectly enjoyable.
It was fine. So, anyways, let's answer some questions while
I'm. Or you want to open mail?
Oh, shit. Yeah, we got some mail here.
This one is from Sandra.
Oh, okay. So I proffered a deal.
Yes.
I brokered a deal.
Yes.
I'm a deal maker, Larson. I make deals. I'm very good at making deals. Our latest Slam Crate featured a WWE Championship belt fanny pack, which neither of us are ever going to wear. So on the Twitter, she reached out and said she will trade us for that fanny pack.
The glory days of wrestling, weird, bizarre, and wild matches.
What are some of the matches on there?
Jerry Lawler versus Randy Savage.
Interesting. Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. A Detroit Battle Royal. Princess Little Dove versus Diamond Lil.
Mm.
Haystacks Calhoun.
Oh, yeah. Big man.
Versus Killer Brooks. And a six-man tag team match. And there's some extra features. So that's cool.
Okay. No, that's good. It's awesome. Thank you, Sandra. That's a good deal that we made there.
Yeah.
All right. So, right now, we're going to do a rundown, a play-by-play of Goldberg. He is at the top of the ramp. Lesnar awaits in the ring.
Yes.
Goldberg has microphone in hand, which usually indicates
that he will speak soon.
He's going to say something. I believe this is where, like, the fans are chanting, Goldberg. Filled those great Philadelphia fans. I love Brock's Suplex City ticket shirt. Who is this next package from?
It doesn't say on the front here.
Goldberg is currently addressing the crowd saying, I'm going to bring WrestleMania the Ultimate Thrill Ride.
Now, don't get distracted giving play-by-plays because we want to know how that belt gets to the ring.
Okay.
That's the most important thing. Belt, that's why we're watching
listen,
this.
Listen, belt, okay. Belt is still around Goldberg's waist right now.
Do play-by-play where the belt at any given time. Belt right now is around Goldberg's waist. He's understood. Taking it off.
Oh, my God. He's taking off the belt. He's taking off the belt. Hold on. It was still in hand. Oh,
nope,
okay.
He drops it at the top of the ramp.
He puts it down. He walks down. Hold on. He spears the shit out of Lesnar.
Now, let's see if we can find anybody bringing the belt to the ring.
Okay. Lesnar has now moved on.
Goldberg is going into the ring.
I'm sorry. Goldberg is going into the
shot.
Ring.
Don't see anybody with the belt.
Don't see anybody with the belt.
Though I suppose it could be running around.
Okay, now we're on replay. That's where anything
it
can happen right now.
Yes.
1,002, 1,003.
That's
okay,
pretty quick.
Now we're back live.
That's pretty quick.
We're on a close up of Goldberg. He's got the belt again. He's got the belt.
They had to have had a second belt.
No. Somebody just ran down there, man.
I like my theory better.
There is also the possibility, because it's a Hulu, there's the possibility that for time's sake,
they might
have chopped.
Maybe, but I remember it being pretty quick.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. It was quick enough that I was like, how did he get the belt?
Yeah.
All right, this is, read letter.
I'm seeing where he's sort of walking.
There could have been someone that grabbed the belt and kind of followed down the ramp and walked behind the
cameraman. There's a ref walking away over here.
Grabbed the belt, walked around the cameraman as that was happening.
If anybody was at Raw last night, we want to know.
Yes, please let us know how Goldberg.
We have friendos out there.
How Goldberg got the belt.
How did Goldberg
after he speared Lesnar? I'm very curious about that.
This is from Michael. Hi, Stephen Larson. I've been a massive fan of your show now for the last 8 months and felt it was time I gave you something for your show. I found the WWE books in a charity shop. That is why some of the questions are done. Oh, that's good. The DVD I got with the WWE magazine, it's of your favorite wrestler, Roman Reigns. It's of his most iconic matches, which I didn't know he had any, but he faces Daniel Bryan.
According to this, there's five.
On it, and they're really good. Thank you for getting me back into wrestling after so many years. I feel much more knowledgeable about wrestling thanks to your show. Steve, I love your impressions of Scott Steiner, you fat bastard. And Vince McMahon, ooh, they always crack me up. I hope you don't mind me asking a question, as I've always wanted to ask you one. His question from Michael.
Yes.
If you could pick three people from Fun Wrestling and W Steve W to wrestle on WWE, who would they be, what brand would they be on, and what would be their ceiling?
Butch Bacon.
Okay.
Unlimited ceiling.
Oh, wow.
He'd have all the belts.
Okay. Okay.
On both, all shows.
Okay.
But he'd be on Raw.
Okay. I feel like he's a SmackDown guy, but go ahead.
Fun Haas.
Okay. He's a SmackDown guy.
Yes, SmackDown, 100%.
Total. Okay.
And then Captain Fun Wrestling on 205 Live.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Total takeover. Golden Powers comes to Raw and just takes over. We're talking about Boss Hoss, Universal Champion. We're talking about Beef Supreme, United States Champion. King Llama in charge of Raw. That's what we're talking
Raw
about.
Raw GM.
Raw GM.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. But that's only one act.
Yes.
Okay. Then we also have Earl Smothers, also on Raw. He comes in, Universal Champion. Then we also
I thought Boss Hoss was Universal Champion.
Right. They fight over it.
Oh, okay.
And then we also have Steve, me. I come in. 205 Live, Emperor of the Cruiserweights.
No.
Yeah.
Jobber of the Cruiserweights.
Let's see here. Wrapping up this letter here. He said, thanks again for keeping me entertained. If you're ever in Ireland, ooh, Ireland, I would gladly buy you both a pint of Guinness. Too sweet to Steve and a hearty handshake to Larson. All the best, Michael.
Thank you very much, Michael. He also sent us these little books.
In it. Let's see.
Four book box set collection.
Ooh.
We have a poster book,
ooh,
sticker activity book,
oh,
scrap book, and a quiz book.
This is going to be a quiz book. Hey, oh. Ooh, yeah. Quizzes now. Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns participates in a battle royal. Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt. Roman Reigns versus Mark Henry. So Roman Reigns joins the Hall of Pain. Nice. Thank you.
Thank
Michael.
You very much.
It's very nice of
you. We have a lot of wrestling to watch.
Yes, we do.
All right, now we can answer some questions.
Hey, you're going to answer some questions immediately. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
First, Haven Elric. With the leaked pictures of the WrestleMania 33 set looking the coolest since WrestleMania 30, does this mean WWE will have more unique sets now, or will it just be more of the same?
Oh, yeah.
I think it seems like for Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, they kind of stick to the basic set.
Correct.
And then they just do, you know, they go to the max for WrestleMania.
Haven't they? All the WrestleManias have had
unique sets, yeah.
Unique sets, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they talking about for like shows? Like,
I don't know if Haven Elric means for shows or for pay-per-views. Because usually for pay-per-views, it's they kind of just stick to the basic set.
Oh, yeah.
Which is more efficient. It's more cost-effective.
I don't know. Okay, here's the thing. I have an affinity. I think you do too. I have an affinity in my heart for like the In Your House pay-per-views.
Oh yes,
Halloween Havoc.
Yes,
but they look so fucking cheap, which is part
of the appeal.
The appeal. I don't want that now because it won't work now.
No,
the WWE, their production value is too good. I'm fine with them keeping like the same setup they have for their normal pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah, because
there's
good.
So many pay-per-views.
And the set looks good now.
Yeah, it looks
good. I really like the set.
Looks good.
The WrestleMania one they're building looks massive.
It looks pretty huge. It looks pretty crazy. Like, I wonder if you're going to be able to ride the Ultimate Thrill Ride roller coaster. Why is it that
I don't know.
It won't load up past 99 questions?
I don't know.
Man, what is with that?
I don't know.
In any event. I wonder if they're going to have like people on the roller coaster as the matches are going on.
That would seem like it'd be distracting.
A little bit. Let's see here. Mankind's Sexy Tooth. My question today is about Roman. Since the WrestleMania main event next year looks like it'll be Roman beating Brock, do you think they should make Paul Heyman turn on Brock and align with a heel Reigns? For me, this means we won't have to hear Roman on the mic, and he could just be a badass while Heyman does what he does best, getting a heel over.
No.
You don't like that?
No.
No good?
No.
Okay.
I think Reigns kind of has to make it on his own or not.
I agree with that. I think
especially if they want him to be the next John Cena.
Paul Heyman going with Roman Reigns would feel even more like they're forcing Roman Reigns down our throat. Like you said, I think there's something appealing in the fact that he's going out there on his own week by week, getting booed and figuring it all out.
And last night he seemed like he was enjoying it.
Yeah, he did. So I'm not huge on that. And on top of that, Paul Heyman has sort of a spotty record when it comes to being paired with people that are not Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Empire Filth official sign guy Drew Ronaldo. The spirit of Sister Abigail has taken possession of a female wrestler, and she has been resurrected to assist Bray Wyatt spread his message. Who does she possess, and who heeds the message and joins them in the new Wyatt family? Drew would like to see the new Wyatts be Bo Dallas, Luke Harper, and a revamped heavy machinery. But to be honest, he can't think of who would make a good Sister Abigail. And then Finest Cat Superfan Caleb Peak suggests Nikki Cross. We've said Nikki Cross would be a good Sister mm-hmm. Abigail, so that's a good option.
I always like the idea that Sanity and the Wyatts would fight over Nikki Cross.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's any more outside of the box scenarios. That new girl, Ruby Riott, looks like she could be a Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Wyatt.
Yeah, I know. Try to think of someone on the SmackDown roster right now. About Becky Lynch.
You can't bring her back from that, man. First. Let's see here.
Tommy T. Hey, friendos, my question today is, do you think you guys prefer Shawn Michaels over Bret Hart because you favor flashiness in matches over technical proficiency? Because I also see it when you talk about Kenny Omega versus Okada. While Okada is way more technical, Omega is way more flashy. Thus, you guys talk about him in much higher regard than you talk about Okada.
I think Shawn Michaels had both. I thought he would. Yeah. I
think Kenny has both too. Kenny's a really good wrestler. It's not just the high spots he does.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. Continue.
It's kind of like the difference between HBK and, like, say, Dolph Ziggler. I feel like Dolph Ziggler does a lot of flashy things, and he oversells, and so you lack kind of. And I'm not saying Dolph is a bad wrestler. I enjoy Dolph Ziggler matches, but I feel like sometimes they lack substance.
Yeah.
I feel like HBK. Had the substance part down.
Yeah.
I thought he had that, plus he had the flashy stuff.
I think if we just enjoyed Flash, then we would both be huge TJ Perkins fans.
Yeah.
Because he's a really good wrestler.
Yeah.
He does some really cool stuff in the ring, but it's the character stuff that's kind of mm-hmm. lacking with him. With Brett, I can appreciate technical wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't find him that interesting of a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's what it really came down to.
Yeah.
And he wrestled... You know, granted, he didn't do, much flashy. He wrestled a very deliberate style.
It's funny because Brett comes off as a guy who takes himself too seriously,
mm-hmm.
and his character came off as a guy mm-hmm. who takes himself too seriously. Yes. That's just kind of off-putting for us, I think. Yeah.
I know.
Dylan Superkick Scribner. Hey, friendos. Long-time listener, first-time patron. So thank you, Dylan.
Thank you very much.
With Reigns almost certain to retire Taker, what would you have preferred to be Taker's last match? He says Balor is the obvious choice for him. I think for me, it would have either been Balor or Cena, but I think Cena, because I think we talked about this a little bit. I think Cena could have brought Taker. I think it just would have been fitting. It would have been like, you know, end of an era part two, kind of.
I'm going to throw another name out there.
Go ahead.
Just kind of bring
Kane!
Undertaker's career full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Kane.
Yeah, it could be. Or Hogan, if you really want full circle.
Low-level writer Carlos Hackworth. If you could referee any match, what would it be, current, past, or fantasy? Any match.
If I could do what now?
Referee any match that's ever happened or make up a match you want to referee.
What's that dude's name at PWG?
Oh, Justin?
Fuck you, Justin. You're ruining the match, Justin. You're ruining the match, Steve. If you could referee any match.
I want to see you take Michael Hayes' place in the Kerry Von Erich Ric Flair.
Oh, man, I would rock those tight jeans and cage match. Shirtless. I'd be the shirtless ref.
That's what I want to see.
If I could have that hair.
That's the match I want to see you ref.
That'd be amazing. I would want you to ref the match with the two Hebners.
The two Larsons?
Two Larsons. That'd be great. Have your brother grow a beard. He doesn't really look like you.
Not really.
Let's see here. Finest cat superfan, Caleb Peake. First time patron and recent viewer.
Thank you very much.
See, I'll do the first timers and then you can take on the others. How cool would it be if Seth Rollins wore a DX shirt for his Triple H match with his jeans and do some DX chops to stick it at Triple H? I want him to go all out and just steal Triple H's gimmick in full.
That'd be great.
I find it funny that I have to come out here and wrestle you. Yeah,
but he comes out in Triple H's bike shorts.
That's right, yeah. That'd be good. Are we going to see, it's those non-sanctions, that automatically mean jeans for everybody? I kind of want to say no, it's non-sanctions. No. It's not a street fight. Street fight means jeans.
But an unsanctioned match means you can do whatever you want. So yeah. It is, in that respect, pretty much a street fight.
I want him to come out in Matt E. Black gear, where he has like armor.
Yeah.
Like Jesus comes out. Or Mechos.
Yes.
Wait, has Mechos debuted?
No,
not yet.
It'll be Friday.
Is that Friday? Okay.
You just spoiled some of the entrance in the Haas tournament, Steve.
Oh, man, it's okay. Somebody's asking us, are we going to put up the brackets? No, we want the surprise.
Yeah.
Look, I like that the cover for this is all Haystacks.
Oh, I know.
It's Haystacks and Haystacks.
Official Friendos Ambassador, Spit Nasty Eric.
Spit Nasty.
Hey, Friendos. WWE really wants to hire you guys, and I mean really wants to.
Uh-oh.
That they are willing to give you any five things as part of the buy-in clause. The show will replace Raw Talk. It can be maybe keeping the Going In Raw name, set, look, or anything for the sake of the show. What five things would we want?
Oh, man.
So following Raw, they cut to us live from Steve's office. In Sacramento, California.
Nah, man. I'd want to be there, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd want to travel.
Yeah.
With the show.
That'd be a lot of travel. Neither of us like traveling that
much. Okay, number one, we keep the name.
Yes.
We definitely keep the name. That's Going In Raw. And people would be like, but it's the post show. Why is it Going In Raw?
Maybe they both do a pre-show.
There you go.
I also want... I don't want to have to talk about things in terms of kayfabe.
Okay.
Like, you know, like on the pre-show now.
Oh, no, you're insane. I want to be all in kayfabe.
You want to do it all in kayfabe?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about booking decisions.
But that's what we enjoy talking about.
I know, but we get so, we would be so giddy talking about it in kayfabe. We could not keep ourselves from laughing if we did it all kayfabe. One day we should do an all kayfabe episode of Going In Raw. That would be hilarious.
How about this?
Because we would come up with all these weird backstories like, okay, but because kayfabe doesn't make a lick of sense.
No.
And we would just be talking about that. Number three thing. So all in kayfabe. Number three, Booker T. He would be on the set with us.
Yes.
Because Booker T knows how to keep it in kayfabe too. And then what's the fifth thing?
Beer tap on set.
Oh man, Ricky and Elliot, those bastards. Lucky sons of bitches they are. Love those guys.
Yes.
Here we go. Next up, you bullshit, Alex Leonard. He says, hey friendos, you bullshit, Alex Leonard here. First time patron. Thank you
very much.
What are your thoughts on Austin Aries versus Neville on the pre-show? Yeah, people are bitching about this. Every title is being defended at WrestleMania. There's a lot of titles, lot of matches.
Yes, I think there's 14 matches announced so far.
I'm totally fine with it.
Has to be on the pre-show.
The pre-show is part of the show. I don't know what else. I mean, look, does the SmackDown tag titles even have a match right now? They'll probably be on the pre-show. So this is the main event of the pre-show. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. The uninvited ghost to Empire of Filth. Hey, friendos, what percentage chance would you give for Roman turning heel at Mania? He thinks 70%.
I think if you just pay attention to Triple H's words, I don't think it's going to be like a traditional heel turn. I think Triple H is doing some.
They're gonna take the heat he'll get from beating Undertaker, mm-hmm. but just have him keep doing the same thing.
Yeah,
and that's going to generate more heel heat on him than any heel turn would.
It's like the biggest monster heel we've seen.
I know.
our generation. I really wonder if Triple H sort of sees the Cena phenomenon and wants to try to harness that idea.
You know what? When Ryback was talking about Triple H saying we didn't want any more Cenas.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he was referring to. Not any more transcendent stars.
Yeah.
Just, we don't want any more superhero good guys.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he meant.
That could be. Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Ryback had these booking ideas or had to push himself in that same capacity.
I think Ryback.
And Triple H's like, we don't want characters like that anymore. Yeah. We want more nuanced characters with depth.
Multi-dimensional
maybe,
characters.
Maybe, I don't know.
He says, no, I want to be a perfect combination of Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and John Cena.
Feed me more, please.
Feed me more, please. By the way, Paul, I went to El Pollo Loco earlier. Would you like some of my El Pollo Loco? No, I'm good. I find it funny that you eat there all the time, though. Did you get tired of it? Damian Martin, first-time patron here. I like the content. Keep up the great work. My question is, if Roman Reigns continues doing his heel work, which is all right, I thought tonight, could you see him teaming with the Usos and form a new Nation of Domination once he gets drafted to SmackDown? I would think that the Usos are kind of below him.
Well,
and
I think they're going to keep Reigns solo act.
Yeah, I think they're going to do that. And I think he's probably going to stay on Raw, too. One thing I would really love them to do is Batista was such a great heel, and he, wore it.
Yeah.
I really want Reigns out of his fucking gear, man.
Yeah.
I don't want him naked, although that'd be pretty fucking funny. Naked heel would be great.
Did you read Vince McMahon's intern Tyrone Hamilton's question?
Let's see here. I have not yet.
Okay, I'll do it then. Hey, friendos, first-time patron. With the Roman Undertaker feud going on, what is the best example of a babyface versus babyface feud where the crowd rebelled against one of them? Someone here says Rock Cena. That was a face versus face feud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Hmm.
I mean, Hogan technically was a heel when he came in against The Rock.
Yeah.
And they kind of turned for him.
I was going to say.
Kind of made him a face during that match.
Reigns, Lesnar at WrestleMania 31. I mean, they were booking Lesnar as a heel, but he was getting a face reaction.
Yeah. I just watched that. Did I mention this on air? Watched that Lesnar-Goldberg WrestleMania 20.
Well, you told me about that,
match. Yeah.
It's not good.
The crowd is fucking hot, man. They were not in. They were giving him so much shit. It was kind of great.
All right, let's do a couple more questions.
Okay. Let's see here.
Empire of Filth. Oh,
hold
sorry.
On,
go
hold
ahead.
On a second.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
Anthony Bucolo. Hey-oh! First-time questioner here. And there is no question. Thank you for your support, Anthony.
Yes, thank you very much.
I will remember your name. Next time, give us a question.
Empire of Filth official Creamer Jefferson. With the wild card... Oh, two-part question. Part one, with the wild cards of Raw being Braun, Samoa Joe,
wild card finals. Ooh.
And Balor, where do they play into at Mania? And part two, if there's no Balor, then will they pull an Asuka, Nakamura, and Balor back into main roster during the draft? If Balor doesn't show up at Mania, it's going to be the Raw after Mania.
Given,
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets into a program with Kevin Owens. Gets involved in that mix.
That'd be interesting. I kind of see him, yeah.
For the United States title.
I could see
picture.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Samoa Joe will be involved in the Triple H Seth Rollins.
I wouldn't be surprised if we
and
saw
Bronze
Asuka.
And Battle Royal.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Asuka in the SmackDown Women's thing, given how much she's been touring with SmackDown lately. That wouldn't surprise me. Here's my thing about the Alexa Bliss thing. I would love to see her in a gauntlet match. And she beats everybody until the very end, and Asuka comes out and wins.
Yes,
because then you're making a huge star out of Asuka,
and
you've made
Alexa
a huge
great.
Star
yes.
out of Alexa.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Let's see here. Vince McMahon's intern Tyrone Tyrannic Hamilton. Oh no, sorry, no, already read that one. My mistake. Oh, here we go. Master of the Steven Larson driver, Xander McIntosh. He says the Steven Larson driver is a springboard tornado DDT.
Okay.
Okay, I like it. Say Vince gives you guys a match against each other at next year's Mania. Steve versus Larson.
All rest holds.
What's the stipulation and the story leading into it?
This is a good one to end on. I like this one.
I like Wade fucking O'Brien says, hold harmless Del Taco on a pole match.
That's good.
What's our story going into Mania?
I want us to have a what would they call that three-layered cage in WCW, the Doomsday Cage?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I want
yeah.
that.
Okay.
I want that.
I like, God damn it, that'd be so boring. It's just like two guys in a three-layered cage.
I know.
And like, yeah, that'd be good. I like that. What's our story leading into it, though?
Well, what causes tension between us? Why are we fighting?
What generally causes tension between us?
When I fart next to you when you're making food.
That was like 20 years ago, man. What, like, lately do you cause tension with me?
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you can say the too sweet thing, but I'm kind of over that by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of us would have to swerve the other one.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like you would swerve me.
I don't know.
You would rip up my Dog Steiner picture.
Okay.
Or maybe I just start, like, making really weird decisions for the show, and I just don't tell you. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of did that with Fun Wrestling. Like, you just took over Fuck Wrestling and made it shitty Fun Wrestling.
No, it's good. It's the evolution.
No, it's under Fuck Wrestling.
No, it's the evolution of Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling. Okay, see, that's our story.
Okay.
And the only way, we're not satisfied settling this in the virtual realm of wrestling video games. We want to sell this in the real world wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what is motivating our feud.
Okay.
So I guess I would be the heel.
Yeah.
And you would be the face.
How about this? How about this? I have a better idea.
Well, we'll see about that.
This is how it goes. I find a really funny pornography picture on the internet. I text it to you, but you open it up and your wife sees it as you're opening it up and she's like appalled. And that's why we fight. That's why we get into a three-tiered cage. Say you're sorry. I am sorry. Okay, we're still going to fight.
All right. What time is it, Steve?
It's like puke porn. Yeah. 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 It has to be something appalling. It's a puke. Time for K-Vape Corner, Larson.
Yeah, the greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge there is. 12 names.
Yeah, it is.
Some of them are real. Some of them are fake.
Sure.
The theme this week I saw, because I looked, is Macho Man versus Ricky Steamboat.
Not to be confused with Machka Man.
Because you were watching their famous classic match from WrestleMania 3.
That's true.
Great match.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you ready?
Sure.
No, oh, yeah, the winner was Macho Man. Okay. Number one.
One.
Darren Rattlesnake Westbrooks.
Fake.
Real.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
I know, right? Number two, Danny Gilbert.
Fake.
Very good. Number three, Chief J. Eagle.
Real.
Real. Very good. Number four, Danny Dubois.
Real.
Very good. Big Daddy John.
Fake.
Very good. Carpetbagger 2.
Ooh. Fake.
Very good. Graham Rivers.
Fake.
Very good. Pepper Jack.
Real.
Very good. Have you heard of Pepper Jack before? He was a little guy. I actually made that name up and then looked it up and it was real. The Kentucky Butcher.
Real.
What a great name, yeah. Terry the Donut Stevens.
Fake.
Fake, yeah. Paul Lucas.
What number is this?
Like 11.
Fake.
Very good. Jesus Christ. Number 12. Crusher.
Fake.
Okay, let's see how far you can go with this.
If I get both these right,
yeah,
new best score ever.
All right, number one trivia question.
Trivia question:
Randy Savage debuted in the WWF on what pay per view in 1985?
On a pay per view? Oh, 85 was. Is it the Wrestling Classic?
Very good. Look at you, man.
12, tying the best score ever.
On that pay-per-view, he lost in the finals of a 16-man tournament to what wrestler?
Ooh. Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Junkyard Dog.
Tying the best score ever.
That is, I'm very impressed. Very impressed, young man. Very good job.
So I'm up, I think, 7 now.
Yeah, that was a banner. That was a banner moment for you. So I got.
I needed that.
I got to bring.
I really needed
week.
That.
Yeah. All right. Good job. And we're gonna do our bonus episode now for the patrons out there.
Yeah.
$5 a month will get you bonus episodes
Correct.
Every week. I have not uploaded them to YouTube, but you can see them in our stream replay.
Yes.
After the regular episode's done. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.